Dr. Levine, can you present your case?
She's 35 years old and was seen by her gynecologist, who noticed on annual physical exam a right breast mass. A mammogram and ultrasound were performed, which confirmed an abnormality. Stereotactic biopsy performed by the radiologist on 10-2003 revealed it. Ductal carcinoma in situ with focal microinvasion with solid acribiform and comedo variant, grade 3. Patient saw the surgeon and underwent wide excision and sentinel node. The pathology revealed metastatic ductal carcinoma in the sentinel node. Patient then had the axillary lymph node dissection, and 4 of 13 additional lymph nodes were positive, so a total of 5 out of 14. Margins were all negative. The primary tumor was 1.2 centimeters, ER positive 75%, PR positive 3%, HER2-new positive. She subsequently chose to have a right mastectomy and prophylactic left mastectomy. She was treated with adjuvant CAF times 6, completed April 2004. She had chest wall radiation therapy. She's currently on tamoxifen. She's disease-free, and she was BRCA1-2 negative.
And what's her menstrual status been like during this time?
She's still menstruating.
Okay. I think her case with 5 positive nodes brings up not only the issue of trastuzumab and hormonal therapy up front in a patient like this, but also in a delayed situation. She's now how far from diagnosis?
A year and a half.
So she's a year and a half out, has 5 positive nodes, a HER2 and ERPR positive tumor, and also menstruating, also raising the question of a very common question that oncologists have in terms of switching from tamoxifen to an AI in women who start out premenopausal and then stop menstruating and maybe continue to remain amenorrheic for a couple of years. And the question of, is that sort of safe enough in terms of switching to an AI? So before we get into the trastuzumab question in terms of these 3 cases, let's just finish out a little bit on hormonal therapy. I'm curious, Hal, do you think that in a postmenopausal patient right now, you can justify not switching them and continuing for a full 5 years of tamoxifen?
Well, it must be said that the optimal sequencing strategy is not known. The studies that would compare sequential therapy with tamoxifen followed by an aromatase inhibitor versus upfront use of an aromatase inhibitor have not been done. The only one that's going on right now is the Big 198 trial, and those data won't be available for the crossover plan for many years. So while I think many of us would say that at some point the patient should receive an aromatase inhibitor, the question of when that moment should be here is really an unanswered one.
I guess the question by these data is it reasonable to wait 5 years to start an AI?
You know, the studies that have looked at crossover at 2 to 3 years, which include the intergroup exemestane study and the ARNO-ABCSG trials, would suggest that in years sort of 3, 4, and 5, there is a lower risk of recurrence by switching from tamoxifen to an AI at the year 2 point than there is if you just continue on for a full 5 years of tamoxifen. Based on that and based on some of the modeling experience we have done with computer simulations, I frequently do transition patients between years 2 and 3 of tamoxifen to an AI instead of waiting for the full 5 years.
So since you took this survey, I guess you were part of the 93% who would switch to an AI in this patient.
That's probably right.
Chuck, what are your thoughts about this? Do you think that it's justifiable? Again, assuming the patient doesn't have, you know, severe osteoporosis or fractures, et cetera, do you think that 5 years of tamoxifen in a postmenopausal patient at this point is a justifiable strategy?
I think it's justifiable, but it's probably not recommended. I mean, I'm sure that I voted the same as Hal voted, and I would switch.
What about the issue of the patient, as in this patient, who starts out premenopausal and starts on tamoxifen, for example, stops having her menstrual periods, you know, perhaps during chemotherapy, and has not had a menstrual period, you know, for a couple years when she gets to the 2 to 3 year point?
You got to be very careful with these people switching them, because they come back. And if I do switch a patient such as this, I'm always sure to, in addition to getting bone densitometry, I stopped getting LH and FSH because they're already on tamoxifen, and they're going to be low just because of the tamoxifen feedback effect on the pituitary. And I go by serum estradiol. The problem is that, as most of the endocrinologists point out, serum estradiol levels are also problematic. And so switching this group of patients gives you a lot of aggravation. And every visit, I repeat estradiol levels to make sure that they are clearly in the postmenopausal range and stay there.
Yeah, that's really an important point. We have collected a series of women who we thought were postmenopausal on tamoxifen because they had been amenorrheic for 2 to 4 years after chemotherapy or just on TAM, and started them on an AI, and they ended up having periods again. And you have to be very cautious about using aromatase inhibitors in women with chemotherapy-induced amenorrhea. And one of our staff is currently writing up this experience. I don't know what the denominator is because we just, you know, collect the cases as we encounter them. But it's more than a few. And Richard Theriault at MD Anderson has the most dramatic story, which is a woman who became pregnant while on an aromatase inhibitor. So just because you're not cycling doesn't mean that you're really in menopause for an AI. And again,